Morning. Thank you, Youth Praise Team, for leading us in that song. Well, good morning. We are excited that you are with us this morning. It's awesome to see our Bridge kids and our youth hanging out with us in one service together. Jason had mentioned that we got a lot going on here at the church, and I think there's just a lot going on in our area in general when you start thinking about it. Tomorrow night is our Trunk or Treat event. You don't want to miss out on that. Come hang out with us tomorrow night. We're going to be playing games and hanging out with kids and families in our community. Again, it's a great event. We've got the election, right, coming up in a week or so, and everybody's excited about that, right? I can just see everybody's pumped about that. Can't wait for that to get here. Also, we've got the World Series going on. Yeah, World Series. As a Cardinals fan, I just want you to know that I'm kind of enjoying so far the outcome of the World Series, just letting you know. And also, just want to let my Cubs fans know that my counselor on staff is going to be hanging out after the service, all right? Just to counsel with you guys if you need any help. I know you're down 3-1. It looks like it's almost over. Also, I'm going to have some of my elders here with oil ready to pray with you, just letting you know. Now, we will not be praying for the Cubs, but we will pray for you right now with what is going on this morning. So, anyway, World Series going on. I don't know if you know this about me or not, and you probably do if you've been around me very long. I'm a huge baseball fan. Do we have any baseball fans in the room? Just kind of raise your hand. You can clap. Yeah, we got some baseball fans. Let me ask you another question, okay? Yeah. So how many of you are either currently playing baseball or softball right now, or maybe you played baseball or softball in high school? Will you just raise your hand if you played baseball or high school? Awesome. So we have a few this morning. Now, I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I played baseball in high school. As a matter of fact, I actually got a college scholarship to play baseball at the next level in college. I'll never forget, I was so excited. I thought I was going to be the next Ozzie Smith or you name it. I just knew that I was going to have a professional career in baseball. And I'll never forget, as I went to Avalon, I worked hard. I actually worked my way up my freshman year and started on the A team for college. I was the only, this is all true, as a freshman, worked hard. I had a specific set of gifts. I was extremely fast, okay, I would run fast. I was also a pretty good outfielder, all right, and so that helped me work my way up, and I remember being so excited as a freshman. Everybody was older than I was, and I was playing, right, on the A team, right, in college. And then the coaches, about halfway through the year, started messing with me just a little bit. They started working on me switch hitting. So I'm normally a right-hander. They started having me switch hit left-handed. They moved me from the outfield, and they started playing me at second base. I mean, they started me on a workout plan. So I started working out just a little bit. And be honest with you, it didn't help me very much at all. As a matter of fact, I remember there was a time. There was about 2 or 3 weeks there where I did awful. Like, I made all kinds of errors. I remember, it was crazy. I struck out like six or seven times, right, in a row, okay? It was crazy. And I remember after one of the times I struck out, I remember coming in. And you guys know that I'm not an emotional guy, right? You know, I don't wear my emotions on my sleeve or anything like that. I remember I'd struck out. And this has been, again, quite a few times in a row. I was doing horrible. I took my helmet. True story. Parents, I'm not being a role model this morning. I'm just letting you know, kids, this is just being honest, sharing my story. Took a helmet, and I remember I threw my helmet across the dugout. I struck out, okay? Everybody's watching me, okay? I grabbed my bat, and I remember taking my bat, and I just went, boom, right in the hill on the side of the dugout. And true story, I yelled from the bottom of my lungs, I hate this, right? And you could just see the whole baseball team just kind of staring at me. And I remember Coach Huber was his name. Never, ever showed a bit of emotion. Matter of fact, he didn't talk a whole lot. Basically, he just kind of sat around and spit. That's really about all that he did. But when he did talk, it was pretty important. I remember Coach Huber looked at me, slowly walked over, put his arms around me, and he took me out of the dugout. Right in the middle of the game, I was playing, pulled me out of the game, set me down. I thought, oh, great, I'm busted. What's he going to do? Is he going to? And I'll never forget this. He sets me down, and I'm going to keep this as I'm going to keep this clean. Coach Huber didn't always have the greatest vocabulary, okay? But he looked at me, and I remember he stood there. He looked at me for a while, didn't say a word, and he started kind of rubbing his chin. And he said, Joe, actually he called me Sweet Feet. That was my nickname at the time. It was because I was fast, not because my feet stunk, okay? But it was Sweet Feet. And I remember he did this, and he was like, Joe, we've messed you up. We've messed you up. He said, son, you have forgotten who you are. You have forgotten what you love. You have forgotten who God designed you to be. And so Coach Huber, I'll never forget at that moment, began reminding me. He said, son, remember, God's given you, you're fast. You've given you speed. Here's the gifts. And he started reminding me, just started reminding me of truth. Of who I, and he started dropping those expectations. He started dropping those things I was working so hard to try to attain. And I remember kind of taking a deep breath, right, and going, yeah, that's who I am. In the midst of all that weight, I had forgotten all the stuff I'd been working. I had forgotten who that I was, forgotten what I loved. And church, this segues into what I want to talk to you about this morning, something that has been heavy upon my heart. Y'all listen, okay? You see, I know that there are people in this room, some of you that have given your life to Christ, some of you that you're still on your journey to truth. You're still walking through it. You're not for sure about this God thing, and you're just kind of figuring things out. But you're going through life frustrated. You're going through life feeling empty. You're going through life unsatisfied. And today, you feel like, maybe I did when I was in college, that you just want to take a helmet, you just want to throw it, and you just want to say, you know what? I quit. This morning, I feel like it is my job to play coach. I feel like that this morning, it's my job to put my arm around you and pull you aside. And remind you of some truth. To remind you of who you really are. My title this morning is simply this: Living Satisfied. Now, if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we've been preaching and teaching through the book of Genesis. So, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. Turn them to Genesis chapter 25. We'll be reading verses 27 through 34. And before we do, I just want to quickly set this up, okay? So focus in here just a moment. I want to tell you what's going on before I read. So in the previous verses of Genesis, we've read that God has blessed Abraham and his family, right? That they would be a great nation. God blessed Abraham with a son, Isaac. Again, if you've been here, you know this. Now Abraham dies. Abraham's son Isaac grows up, he marries Rebekah, and they have two twin boys, okay? They have two twin boys named Jacob and Esau. So this morning, this is where we're going to pick up the text with about these two sons, Jacob and Esau. If you have your Bibles, 25, 27 through 34, strap on your helmet, lock down your seatbelt. Let's dive into the scriptures. And let's let them come alive in our hearts today. Let's read this. Here we go. Hang on. Let's read. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And I want to pause there. I'm just going to use my imaginary pause remote this morning. I just want to pause that and talk to you just about some few things that I see here in this text. As I was reading this week, I want you to know that these first two verses bothered me. Okay, I had to stop here over and over again and go, God, why are you keep bringing it back? Why does this bother me, okay? Does anybody in this room Again, when I preach, it's a participation sport. I can't talk very good this morning. Participation sport. Does anybody see a problem with anything that we just read? Anybody see a problem? Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Favoritism, right? Do we all parents, we see a lot of parents doing this. I'm like, what's wrong with that? I'm just kidding, right? Right? So we see favoritism, right? We see that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. There was some messed up love, all right, going on in this family, right? Jacob and Rebecca, mom and dad had favorites. They each had one son that loved the other son more. This is important. I really feel this heavy on my heart to say this morning, okay? Listen to me, y'all. Everybody in this room, this is for you. This is for you. God loves you. God loves you. Whether you're saved or you're unsaved, God loves you. God doesn't play favorites. God loves you. Now, this is what I'm about to have you do is kind of elementary, but you know what? We're going to do it, okay? I want you to turn to somebody right now. Two people. I want you to lock in with somebody's eyes. Two people side by side with someone. Find someone right now. Look them in the eye right now. Everyone across this room, find someone. Look them in the eye. And on the count of three, you're going to say, God loves you, okay? On the count of three, if you want to point at them, you can do that. I do not care. Just don't slap them, okay? We're going to say this together. On the count of three, let this sink in. One, two, three, God loves you, all right? It's important this morning that everybody in this room that hears me understands that the creator of the universe, God Almighty, loves you and cares for you. I am so thankful that God loves us unconditionally, aren't you? Y'all, that would be a great place right there to say amen. I'm just saying, okay? So let's try that. We're going to practice that. I am so glad that God loves us unconditionally, aren't you? Amen. That was really good. God doesn't base his love. Y'all listen. Y'all, oh man. God doesn't base his love on our performance, how we look or dress, how many scriptures we have memorized, or the church we go to, or the job we have. Come on, y'all. God loves you. Amen? Man, we got people in this room in all kinds of different journeys. We got people been in church for years. We got people, even though they like church this morning in here, right? We're all over the place. Guess what? The God of the universe loves you. Whew. Okay, glad I got that off my chest. I personally feel so much better this morning. Let's continue to reading. Let's unpause our story and let's read on. Genesis 25 through 29. Let's pick up on our story. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said, Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I am famished. Okay, so Esau has been hunting all day, right? He comes in. He sees his brother cooking some delicious red stew, and he's like, yo, I want that. I need that right now. I am not satisfied unless I tear me up, right, some stew. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have ever seen something or been in a situation where you were like, I gotta have that? Raise your hand. Come on. How many of you? If you're not raising your hand, you're a liar, okay? Just come on, raise your hand, right? You've all been there, right? Woo! I gotta have that, or I want some of that, or I would be better if I just had that, right? We've all been there, all right? I remember the first time my beautiful bride walked in the room. Literally the first time I ever saw her, I was like, I'll take one of those. Yeah, I think I want one of those, right? Well, where do I sign up? I've got to have that, right? My son, my son, God love him. God love him. He's been telling me for weeks, and I bet I've got other parents struggling with this. He's been telling me for weeks that he will not be complete until that he will die Literally, this has come out of his mouth. He will die. He's shaking his head. He's like, unless, Dad, I have an iPhone 7, right? Any other parents dealing with that? Anybody ever been, anybody dealing with that? Okay, yeah, we got a couple, right? And so he said, man, Dad, there's just an emptiness. Emptiness in my soul if I don't have the iPhone 7. And so I better get an amen here. So I'm like any great parent. I told him this, the emptiness that right now you're experiencing in your life, right, is so much better right now than the emptiness I would feel in my wallet. Amen? Amen? Right? Come on, parents. Yeah. Come on, parents. We gotta be on the same team here. Help me out. So we find Esau missing something. He's like, I gotta have something. I don't know what it is. I'm gonna die. I gotta have this. There was an emptiness and a void in his stomach, and he's looking for something to fill it. So he looks across the room at a bowl of stew, and he thinks this, y'all. This is what I think is going through his mind. This stew can solve all of my problems. This stew is going to take my pain away. This stew is going to make me feel so much better. I got to have this stew because it will save my life. Just like Esau's feeling, church, we are all born with an emptiness and a void and a hunger within our hearts. We all are. We all are. And we try to fill that void with all kinds of stuff. Y'all listen. We try to fill that emptiness with all kinds of stuff, like Esau. We do it with relationships. We do it with sex. We do it with drugs. We do it with work. We do it with shopping. We do it with television. We do it with money. We do it with video games. We do it with sports. We do it with exercising. We do this by doing empty religious things. In essence, we're trying to fill this void with stew. Y'all listen. Something that satisfies for a moment, but does not last long term. Jesus was talking to a woman at the well, and this woman comes up to Jesus, and she's like, hey, Jesus, would you like a drink of water? Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water welling up to eternal life. So what is Jesus talking about here? What's he say? The water that he gives, right? We're going to never thirst. Well, here is what I think Jesus was talking about. Now, I don't have any stew this morning. As a matter of fact, I don't even like stew. Do we have people in this room that like stew? Do you like stew? Like, okay, a few of you. Y'all are weird. Just kidding. Potato soup, all that stuff. I'm just not a big stew guy, okay? But you know what I do like? And I like it a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a huge fan of cereal, okay? Do we have any cereal fans? How many of y'all like eat cereal for like lunch? So we got somebody clapping in the back, okay? Like, do you eat cereal for dinner sometimes? You guys do that, right? Okay. Now, this happens to be my favorite, Kellogg's Corn Pops, okay? Do we have any Corn Pops fans? Do we have anybody in this room that likes Corn Pops? We got a few of you guys, okay? So here's what I'm going to do this morning. Again, I don't have any stew, but I, again, have Corn Pops. So we're going to pour my favorite cereal in there this morning, right? And so here's what's going to happen. And y'all know this. This isn't rocket science. If I sit down and I eat this bowl of cereal, what's going to happen in about 2 or possibly 3 hours? What's going to happen? I'm going to be hungry again, man. I'm going to be starving again, right? What we find here is that cereal temporarily satisfies for the moment, right? But it sure doesn't last very long, does it? No. Christ, when he was talking to the woman, said, you know, if you drink just water, which cereal or a stew, right? That stuff's just not going to last very long. What you need is something of substance. What you need is something with some protein, Okay? What you need is something that will last you forever and ever. And so what God offers us is not stew. God does not offer us cereal. God offers us steak. All right? Yeah. Yeah, you can clap for steak. Come on. Who are you people? Right? Now, hang on. Let me explain this for a moment. If you do not like steak, I don't know. I'll pretend it's tofu. I don't know. I'm not for sure what to do with that. But let me explain this to you. Steak has substance. Steak has protein. Steak satisfies that deep hunger that you have. Let me show you something, okay? So here's what I've never, this is crazy. I have never, ever, ever once seen anybody sit down to a bowl of cereal and do this. Woo! Man, I'm stuffed. Woo-hoo! I can no longer eat any more of that cereal. I'm satisfied, right? Never seen that in my life, okay? Never seen that. But you sit down to a nice, juicy, delicious steak with some potato. It's too close for lunch, right, to be talking about this, right? Potatoes and corn and maybe some cornbread. It's cornbread, muffin, whatever it may be, right? You go, oh, you eat that. You're like, man, that is so good. What God offers us is a relationship with Jesus Christ, which ultimately provides and satisfies our heart. Amen? Amen. Let me talk to you about this just a little bit. Okay, so if you're searching out your faith this morning, which we love that you're here, you keep searching it out, okay? You keep searching it out. You may be asking me this question. All right, Joe, so I'm eating cereal, right? How do I get steak? What's this Jesus? How do I get this peace? How do I become satisfied? John 3:3 says this, very true that I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Born again. You must be born again. So how do you do that, Joe? What's up? What are you talking about? Your crazy steak, born again, talking about cereal. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. It's simply by faith. It's simply by faith. It's simply by faith. Believing that Christ was the Son of God, he died on the cross so that you could have real peace and you could have real comfort in your heart. Amen? When you do this, oh, this is so wild. Like, this is crazy. When you do this, there is literally a new birth in your heart. What? New birth in your heart. You are no longer your old self. Church, we got to believe the scripture. It says that we are now something new. Amen? 2 Corinthians says this. That means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Listen, if you're still searching out your faith this morning, again, you are welcome. You keep searching it out. We are not going to pound anything down your throat this morning. We want the Holy Spirit to do this work in your heart, not me. But listen. You don't have to be like Esau, hungry and filling that void with stew. You don't have to, right? Christ died on the cross for you, and you can find lasting peace through Jesus Christ. So those of you who are seeking this Christian, church, God, whatever you want to call it, thing, whatever you want to call it, you can call it whatever. I'm fine with that. My question for you is this, are you satisfied? Just want to ask you that. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? Have you found real peace and satisfaction in your heart? God loves you, and through Jesus Christ, I believe you can live satisfied. Let's continue on. I want to wrap my message. Let's continue on. Let's hurry with our story. Let's take our remotes. Let's unpause the story, and let's read the rest of it. Genesis 25:31. Jacob replied, First, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is this birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. Esau despised his birthright. Okay, so we read here, Esau is starving. He comes from the field. He sees the stew. He's like, I got to have the stew. I need it right now. I'm going to die, right? And what does his brother say? Yeah, I can help you with that. Sure, yeah, I'll help you with that. By the way, I'll trade you that for your birthright. It'll cost you your birthright. Hang on. This is so important, y'all. Stay focused right now because it's important. This birthright thing is a big, big deal, okay? It's a big, big deal. If you were Jewish and you were the firstborn son in your family, you got the birthright. We got any firstborn sons in this room? Raise your hand. If you were the firstborn in your family, raise your hand. Firstborn, we got a couple. Okay, guess what? Back in Jewish time, you were a big deal. Okay, you got the birthright. Now, this is what this meant, y'all. Hang on to this, okay? This is what, if you were the firstborn, this is what this meant. You got the most inheritance. You got the most money. When dad passed away, you got half of it. You got more than brother and sister, and you got to pick what you want. You got the most money, and you got the most land. You got to be boss of your family. That's right, you get to boss brothers and sisters around, right? You're the man, right? If you had the birthright. It brought you great honor, and it gave you special privileges when you had the birthright. You could kind of walk around, you know, all cool, because you were the one, you had the birthright, right? So Esau trades his birthright for a bowl of stew. What? Yeah. How does this happen? I don't know about you, but this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. What in the world was Esau thinking? Well, I think that answer, as I read this scripture, I think that answer is found in the last five words of the text. Last five words. Let me read those again. So Esau despised his birthright. The Message version says this. Y'all listen. The message version says this. That's how Esau shrugged off his rights as the firstborn. I got to kind of take Esau as, whatever, I'm hungry. Right? I was like, nah, no big deal. Do you know what I think? I think Esau, he had the birthright. Do you know what I think? I think he forgot who he was. I do. I think he was like, birthright, it's not that big of a deal. I'm okay with that, right? He forgot who he was. He could have called on one of his dad's servants to make him something. His dad was rich. He was loaded, right? I'm sure there was numerous things to eat around him other than stew. He was the firstborn, the carrier of the birthright. But I think he got so caught up in life and hunting and satisfying his belly at that moment, he forgot. Church, I think we sometimes as Christians, born-again believers, saved, whatever you want to call it, whatever term you like to use that makes you feel better, forget who we really are. I do. I believe we get so caught up in life sometimes that we forget those of us that have been born again, that the scripture we just read says we're now different, right? We forget who we really are. Galatians 4, 4 through 7, y'all. And this makes me want to shout. I will not shout, but it makes me want to shout, okay? Listen. Believer, listen. But when he set, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Whew. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So what does God call us, those that are born again? He calls us what? Sons, children, and heirs. Yeah, son, children, and heirs. Son, children, and heirs. Guess what? Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, and because you have put your faith in Jesus, you are now a son, a child, and an heir of the Creator of the universe. What? That's amazing. Are you kidding me? Get your brain around that. I'm going to say that again. And again, that's a really another good amen moment, okay? We're going to teach you how to do this, all right? I'm going to say that again. Guess what? Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, and because you have faith in his son, Jesus Christ, now you're a child and an heir of the Creator of the universe. Oh, man. So this morning, as I wrap up this morning, I feel like it's my job to play the role of coach. I feel like there's so many people in this room right now that have forgotten who they are, that have forgotten what this is all about, that's forgotten what Christ has done for you this morning. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read just a few things. I'm going to read a few things of who you are. And I want you to just let this, if you got to close your eyes, because you know what? Life is crazy, and I know right now you're thinking, we got lunch afterwards, and my job is on Monday, and I've got, and the kids are in here, and they're, whatever. Stop. Peace be still. Work for Jesus, right? Peace be still. And I literally, because I know this with all of my heart, there are people in this room that need to hear this morning. Let this just soak in. You are. This is truth, y'all. You are loved unconditionally, despite your mess-ups, failures, and performance. God loves you right where you are at today. Yeah, you can amen that. Sure, that's good. Ephesians says this, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You are saved from your sins, past, current, and future. Because of what Christ did on the cross, you do not have to be a slave to sin anymore. Hallelujah. Sorry. I'm not emotional. Hebrews 7 says this, "Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on your behalf. You are born again, new at the core, and can trust that God is doing a good work in you." Philippians says this, "Being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, you can clap. You are, this is a big one for me, y'all. This is a big one for me. You are not alone. You are not alone. The Holy Spirit is in you, and you can trust him completely without stress, anxiety, or fear. Glory to God. Romans 15 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And that, my friends, is the truth. If you are born again, that is the truth of who you really are. When you know that, when you start bathing yourself in that, when you start walking in that, guess what? Everything else is just cereal. Everything else is just cereal, man. Come on, y'all. Everything else is just cereal. Ah, man. Let us be satisfied in Christ. As I wrap this up this morning, I'm almost done, y'all. Hang on with me. We're not going too late. I need to be very honest and transparent with you. I have to admit that it's been a while since I personally have been satisfied in Christ. Just being real with you. Just because I'm a pastor, I don't even like using that title sometimes. I really don't. I struggle with the same struggles. I go through the same things. And I'll be honest with you. I've been struggling with this. I am sorry, but this message was probably more for me than it was for you. Some of the things I just read you, I'm still soaking it in. I'm being real. I'm just being real with y'all, okay? I'm still soaking it in. I'm like, yeah, yes, right. That's who I am. That's right, right? Yes, right? And I can tell you something that's helped me recently, something that's helped me is the advice my brother Paul gives us in Romans 12. Love Paul. Love Paul. This is the advice he gives us. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what I've been doing. I've just been pulling myself out of the patterns of this world. It is so easy to get caught up in the routines of this world. It is so easy to get caught up in the stuff of this world. And I've been trying to do more of the things that I love, okay? That I love. The things that God has placed in my heart, like hiking in the woods. I'm being honest with you. I'm not going to get super spiritual on you, okay? Because I'm not right now, okay? Walking through the woods, listening to music that I love, playing with my kids. I'm just being real with you. And then reminding myself of the four things that I have just told you this morning. I am loved unconditionally. I am saved from sin. I am born again, and I am new at the core, and I am not alone. I've got the Holy Spirit living in me. And you know what? For Joe, it's working. It's working. There's just something about renewing our minds. Paul, this is good, y'all. Something about renewing our minds in truth that helps us on our journey. So I'm being coached this morning, right? I just want to simply encourage you today. And I don't care when or what it looks like. Y'all listen. I don't care when or what it looks like. But take some time when you can and pull yourself out of the pattern of this world. Pull yourself out just for a moment. Even if it's for a few minutes, an hour, whatever it may be. Right? Find something you enjoy. I'm serious. God's given us desires of our hearts. There are things that we enjoy. And renew your mind in Christ. Don't forget who you really are. It's a journey, church. It's a journey. Let's be real. And journey together. And let's be patient. Come on, let's be patient. Knowing everyone is on a different journey. And let's lovingly encourage each other to make Jesus the center of everything we do so that we can truly live satisfied. Amen.